Roger and Michael riding home with you this afternoon in the snow. Snow going to taper off in just a couple hours, according to Bob Larson. Between 6 and 7 this evening, the snow will be history, except for what's on the ground. We're back up to 33. We're teetering right on the freezing, and at some point, since a low tomorrow morning of 24 is predicted, somewhere in the not-too-distant future, roads are going to start getting really slippery. And don't you be the first one to discover that. Get ahead of the curve and drive careful out there as we all develop and retrain for winter driving. Tonight should be, I guess, viewed as winter driving 101. Going to give away a pair of tickets to see the movie Ender's Game, a movie I liked. I convinced some friends to go see it, and we were out with them Saturday night, and they said they really enjoyed the movie as well. And so here's your chance to go see it in IMAX for free, just by calling Michael and telling him, well, we're going to have a trivia question. Why is it birds' feet don't freeze to metal? Almost like birdwatch. Why don't feet of birds? Well, they have more than one. Why don't birds' feet stick to metal when it gets cold? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. You can go see Ender's Game for free. All you got to do is call Michael and be the first person with the right answer why it is birds' feet don't freeze to metal this time of year. Well, Saturday was an interesting day in Texas. I guess they have a lot of interesting days there, but this Saturday in particular, 40 armed men, women, and children waited outside a Texas area restaurant to protest a membership meeting for the state chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, a gun safety advocacy group that was formed in the aftermath of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. According to a spokesman for Moms Demand Action, the moms were inside the Blue Mesa Grill when members of the Open Carry Texas, OCT, an open carry advocacy group, pulled up in the parking lot and started getting guns out of their trunk. The group then waited in the parking lot for four MDA members to come out. The spokesman said the restaurant manager did not want to call 911 out of fear of inciting a riot, and waited for the gun advocates to leave. The group moved to a nearby Hooters for approximately 2 hours. MDA later released a statement calling OCT gun bullies who disagreed with their goal of changing America's gun laws and policies to protect children and families. The statement added that the members and a restaurant customers were terrified what appeared to be an armed ambush. A member of OCT responded by tweeting, "I guess I'm a gun bully at Come and Take It." Interesting mindset. This isn't the first time gun advocates have rallied at MDA events. In March, a group of armed men crashed an MDA gun control rally in Indianapolis. Other gun advocate groups will hold rallies this upcoming December 14th, the anniversary date of the Sandy Hook shooting. Ever-sensitive people, these gun proponents. Licensed gun owners are allowed to carry concealed weapons, but Texas is one of six states that prohibits open carrying of firearms. Attorney General Greg Abbott, a likely Republican successor to Rick Perry, who's no longer allowed to be governor because of term limits, has vowed to permit concealed handgun owners to display their firearms in public. Four GOP contenders for lieutenant governor similarly hope to put in place open carry laws if elected. I guess let's talk about this. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. If 40 armed people show up in a restaurant parking lot, should that be a reason to alert the police? If you've got 40 armed people out in the parking lot, who are there because of a group in the restaurant that they oppose, is that not a reasonable place to put public safety officers in between those two groups? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. First, do you think groups of 40 people holding weapons ought to be allowed to accumulate in one restaurant parking lot? And do you agree with the restaurant manager who said he was afraid to call the police? Having a bunch of people with guns in a parking lot seems to me to be a rational place to think there might be some sort of threat to public safety. 382-4280, 877-382-4280.
A Sturgis man is recovering from a leg wound today that he claims he suffered when he was confronted by two black males who tried to rob him in the 400 block of East West Street early Saturday morning. I'm John McNeil, WKZO News. He told police who were called to the emergency room after he appeared with a bullet wound that he refused to cooperate with the muggers, and one of them shot him in the leg. Hunters will be heading to the woods and fields throughout Michigan at the end of this week. Firearms deer season starts on Friday. Conservation officers with the DNR have a top 10 list of tips for a safe hunt online, including treating every gun as if it was loaded, don't run or jump with a gun, and avoid alcohol before and during the hunt. Some West Michigan school bus drivers are shutting off their engines to protect students' health. Children often have to walk through clouds of fumes blowing from the exhaust pipes of idling buses. Several West Michigan schools are adopting anti-idling policies. From the WKZO.com newsroom, I'm John McNeil.
Away from the radio and you need the score? Text SCORES at 80373. Just another service of WKZO.
Ready to start building that new dream home? Get a new construction loan from Lake Michigan Credit Union. With a one-time low-cost closing, it's easier than ever to go from blueprint to move-in. Call or stop by any LMCU branch or visit online at lmcu.org, an equal housing lender. There's a wonderful evening of entertainment coming to Kalamazoo, and it's made even more wonderful because it helps people in our community. Since captivating the nation as a finalist on American Idol, Scott McIntyre has continued to move audiences to laughter, tears, and standing ovations all over the world. You might remember him as part of the Dueling Pianos with Matt Girard on national television. On Friday, November 15th, Scott McIntyre will be performing at Kalamazoo Assembly of God Church on Oakland Drive and I-94, with proceeds benefiting the Building Hope for the Future campaign to support the women and children living at the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission. Your ticket packages may also include a copy of Scott McIntyre's book, By Faith, Not By Sight, as Scott is visually impaired. Don't miss this opportunity to hear of a wonderful story while benefiting the Building Hope for the Future campaign to support the women and children living at the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission. For ticket information, call Tammy Club at 345-2974, extension 211. Don't get left out. Call her now, 345-2974, extension 211.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad,
I'd probably talk about sports.
I'd probably talk to her about boys and dating.
I guess I would probably talk about where she wanted to be when she was my age.
I really think that I would ask him about his choices through school and how they affected his life later on.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom,
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, dating, school, work, clothes.
I guess I'd ask my mom who she went to for advice.
Just like what's coming up and what I'm planning on doing with my life.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad,
if it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
WKZO.com. AccuWeather Forecast.
Snow accumulating and covering to an inch or so before ending early tonight. Watch for slippery spots. Brisk and much colder tonight, low 24. Brisk and cold tomorrow with variable cloudiness and a couple of snow showers, high 35. Clearing brisk and cold tomorrow night, low 23. Wednesday, partly sunny, brisk and chilly, high 41. I'm Bob Larson.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
.421, 33 degrees, some snow falling in Kalamazoo, and the entire AccuWeather forecast, mostly cloudy, brisk and turning cold this afternoon, snow accumulating an inch or so before ending between 6 and 7. That, according to AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson, temperatures falling through the 30s tonight, cloudy, cold the rest of the night, a snow shower or two in spots. Watch for slick spots, especially bridges. Look for a low of 24. Mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow. Some snow showers around, a high 35. Wednesday, still chilly. Times of clouds and sun and a high of 41 degrees. We have 33 in Kalamazoo. And Michael, who was our winner for the trivia question, why is it birds' feet don't freeze to metal?
Our winner was Eli Israel.
Well, and he gets to go see Ender's Game. This one, no answer required, no trivia question. Caller number 7 at 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Get a pair of tickets to see About Time. That is from the creators of Love Actually, Notting Hill, and Four Weddings and a Funeral. All you have to do is be caller number 7 and say hi to Michael, and you can go see that movie for free on your friends here at 590 WKZO. Well, gas isn't free, but it's approaching a milestone that I never thought we'd see again. Let's start up in Hastings, 309 up there. But in Plainwell, 312 is the going rate. A number of stations along M89 right there by US 131. In Pawpaw, gas prices 315 everywhere. And no need to shop around. Down in Three Rivers, the best price, 308. That's at the Meyer right there by US 131 on the southeast part of town. Sturgis, which is historically been some of the lowest gas prices in the state, 303, the actual best price on the west side of Sturgis on the way to the Indiana border. Battle Creek, the best price is on the far east side, 311, 312 being fairly common throughout Battle Creek, but the absolute best price is at 11 Mile and I-94 on the east side of Battle Creek. In Kalamazoo, the absolute best price, 303, that is at the mobile station at North 32nd, right by East D Avenue. And along Gull Road coming into town, 307, the common price. And that is the best price, although along Portage Road we are seeing 309 starting at the BP at Golf View, right across from the golf course on Portage Road. 309 and a low of 307 on Sprinkle. That 307 is at the Speedway at the corner of Van Rick and Sprinkle. You know, it wasn't that long ago that I read an article saying we would never see gas go below $3 a gallon again. And, well, we haven't. But nearby it has. Water Valet is at 299, 297 in Coloma. And so we have seen prices near us drop to below $3 a gallon. And that wasn't supposed to happen again. But I don't know that it makes sense to drive to Coloma to get your gas. But if you're heading to Chicago, you might want to avail yourself of gas below $3 a gallon. But if you're on the way to Chicago, you may want to check your weather forecast, because Bob was telling us right at the bottom of the lake, some of the shore areas of the western shore, but most of the lake effect snow coming out of this snowstorm is going to be at the south end of Lake Michigan. And so if you're headed to Chicago, it would be it would make sense for you to check with the road conditions at the bottom of the lake. Michael, do we have a winner for the pair of tickets to see About Time? I was surprised when I looked up something about this movie. It's listed as science fiction.
Yeah, it's because I guess the family can travel through time. I was just reading the synopsis about that.
Yeah.
And the winner was Rick Ball.
Okay, Rick. And you get to go see that's actually two science fiction movies.
Yeah.
Ender's Game and About Time. But About Time might be a date movie choice.
And the callers were also calling and wondering what the answer to the bird question was.
Oh.
Since you never did read that.
Oh, the reason is they have no moisture in their skin. And so there is nothing to freeze. If they did, you would see birds frozen to power lines all over the place. Power lines have no rubber covering on them. They're just metal. That's why they have to have the little glass knobs on the pole to hold the wires.
Okay.
Is because they're just wire. And the reason birds aren't killed is they have the positive and negative in wires mm-hmm. that are too far apart to touch at the same time. Birds can't freeze to metal because they have no moisture in their skin at all. Dogs have no moisture in their skin except on the paw, their paws.
Hmm, interesting.
Dogs sweat through their paws. Snow coming down. Be a little careful out there on the roads. We're back down to 32 degrees. That means there's going to be ice someplace as you travel home. A reminder, mostly cloudy and cold the rest of tonight, with snow showers or two after the general snow quits by 6:30, 7 o'clock. And the overnight low, 24 degrees, feels like winter out there. 32 as you head home at 4:31. CBS News is next, followed by a local news update.
Screen falling off the door, door hanging off the hinges. My feet are still sore, my back's on the fringes. We tore up the walls, we slept on couches. We lifted this house, we lifted this house. Firecrackers in the east, my car parks out. Your
4:40 on your way home on a snowy Monday evening, 32 degrees in Kalamazoo. Watch for slippery spots on the way home. And caller number 7 at 382-4280, 877-382-4280, gets a couple of movie passes to see Ender's Game in IMAX. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Joining me now is Colonel Jeff McCauslin. He is a national security consultant to CBS and a retired Army colonel. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you doing?
Roger, I'm doing okay.
Good, good. Are you enjoying Veterans Day, a day that where most people take the time to tip their hat to people who protect our country?
Well, after all, it's been a very poignant Veterans Day for me because, unfortunately, over the weekend, I had to attend the funeral of my nephew, Captain Casey McCauslin, who was a veteran of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, had returned home about 5 years ago from Afghanistan after having been badly wounded and had suffered grievously with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Unfortunately and sadly, last week we found Casey dead in his apartment. And so in many ways, I will always think that he was wounded in combat, and 5 years later he has now succumbed to his wound. So this will be one Veterans Day for that reason that I will never forget.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How common, is it more common with veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan to have post-traumatic stress problems, or is it common in every war?
I think we now believe it's common in every war, but back in the day, you know, in World War One, they called it shell-shocked or battle fatigue in World War II, and When I came on active duty as lieutenant at the very end of the Vietnam War, there were a number of veterans I look like back on now who were still in uniform. We captured out of the Army for various reasons. Some of them had substance abuse issues, usually alcohol. But I think now many of them probably were suffering from PTSD, and you could probably walk the streets of Kalamazoo or any large city in the United States, and you would encounter more than our share of old homeless men in particular who are probably Vietnam veterans. The one thing that war has some advantage to, and that is we learn a lot more about medical science in the course of a conflict. We've learned a lot more about PTSD in this conflict. And also, I think in this particular war, there was a unique connection with traumatic brain injury, TBI, concussions, if you will, which was another signature injury of this conflict due to the fact that our adversary made extensive use of improvised explosive devices like the one that nearly killed my nephew when his vehicle was blown up in Afghanistan, and I think was the trigger point in many ways for a lot of his PTSD issues.
Are we treating our returning veterans as aggressively as we should be for post-traumatic stress? Are the facilities and services that our returning veterans need available to them?
Well, probably not. I mean, we went through the silliness of the government shutdown, and when the government shuts down, the Veterans Center shut down, and as we see budget cuts coming under the sequester, and we know we've got budgetary issues, that'll impact the Veterans Administration, which cares for veterans. That'll impact the National Academy of Sciences that does additional research on the medical issues associated with PTSD and how to treat it. We have, I think, improved dramatically. The military has expanded its medical and mental care treatment of veterans and greater efforts to transition. There's been a greater effort to try to break through a culture in the military, which is that we as soldiers don't talk about these problems that are hidden from everybody else. We kind of hold them in, which is really a real bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we also see that this not only affects the soldier, but affects the families as well. And then finally, of course, the Veterans Administration has been basically slumped due to the return of veterans. And we also need to know, of course, that the Veterans Administration has to handle all veterans. So right now they also have a significant role to play with our World War II and Korean War veterans in particular, who are an aging population.
Has the family impact of post-traumatic stress been appreciated in returning veterans of previous wars, or is that something that research has led us to at this point?
No, I think it's the research has led us to the fact that this has an impact on the individual that will carry on for some time. It also, again, has an impact on the family who try their best to care for their veteran just like he or she was afflicted with, you know, serious physical injuries. And the stress and strain it puts on them, I've watched my brother and his wife struggle with that, which has affected their health. It certainly has affected them financially. My brother, frankly, quit his job in an effort to care for his son. And in many ways, as his sister said to me at the funeral, you know, Casey never, ever really came back from Afghanistan. He never really made it back as hard as he tried to do so.
Condolences on losing a relative. And even when getting the appropriate care, it's not always successful. Was your nephew getting the help needed and it just didn't work, or was he not getting the kind of support from the Veterans Administration that he should have?
I mean, he got a lot of support. Was it enough? I mean, it's difficult for me at this juncture to judge that. It'd be better judgment by his parents, but an enormous number of things were, in fact, done for him by those, you know, government organizations. Though, as I said, they have a lot of other veterans to care for. You know, the other thing is, this popped up, of course, is a lot of nonprofit organizations. One in which Casey worked with a lot, it's called The Mission Continues, which is an organization, you know, that is full of veterans who take care of veterans. these nonprofits have been very helpful. But, you know, as we talk here today, I would hope Americans who hear this story will think of a veteran they know, or frankly think of a family they know, and reach out to them, because those personal contacts, you know, in church groups and neighbors and whatever, are probably at the fundamental level the most important in helping these people through a very, very difficult time.
Yeah. We're talking with retired Colonel Jeff McCausland. Colonel, are we getting to the people that need the help, or is there more outreach needed? And is the VA catching up on the paperwork backlog that they've had?
Yeah, the VA is starting to catch up, and I mean, there's an enormous backlog. We still see returning veterans waiting maybe almost a year to get the veteran benefits they're entitled to, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And we know there's still a lack of time coordination between the Department of Defense, where the service member, of course, is assigned and treated medically until he or she is discharged, and then they're handed over for their cases to the Veterans Administration, and that still is not as smooth as it should be. But still, in all, an awful lot of this is, you know, paperwork. I think something like 97% of all the documents handled by the Veterans Administration are still paperwork instead of being digitally, you know. And we talked today, of course, about the problems of the health care plan and the website. Well, let me tell you, the Veterans Administration has the same problem in trying to come up with a website that will allow that to be smoothly done. I know of one veteran center, for example, which is talked about down south, which actually the building now has been nearly condemned because there's a fear that the structure of the building is being damaged by the weight of all the paper that they're still trying to manage in that particular facility.
That was a heavy sigh. We've got people who need help, and we're still shuffling paper. Frustrating. I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us this afternoon, especially in light of the tragedy of post-traumatic stress coming home to you, particularly this past weekend. Thanks for sharing your experience with us.
Roger, I appreciate the opportunity to do so, and I hope this talk will be heard by at least one veteran who will seek help, or perhaps one family that will seek help as well.
From your lips to God's ear. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Roger.
590 WKZO time is 4:50. That was retired Colonel Jeff McCausland, retired from the U.S. Army and a national security consultant for CBS News. And his comments made all the more poignant by the fact he lost a nephew to post-traumatic stress disorder this past weekend. We'll have the complete AccuWeather forecast for you right after a news update.
Tuesday's Mega Millions jackpot is $132 million. Get your ticket today.
Roger, Mike, and Kelvin taking you home this afternoon. Before we bring Kelvin on, who won the pair of tickets there, Michael?
The pair of tickets for Ender's Game went to Moham Golapali, and I'm sorry if I butchered that name.
But you made a good effort.
Yes.
Hey, Kelvin, how are you?
I'm just fine, Roger.
You had thoughts on the VA backlog?
Yeah, the VA backlog. You know, one of the problems I keep hearing from I'm a former Navy veteran.
Okay.
Or am a Navy veteran. And one of the problems is reaching out to some of the younger guys who have alcohol and drug problems,
mm-hmm.
and not wanting the help. So that's one of the major problems the VA is having and has had probably over the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a problem, you know, if somebody doesn't want the help.
Yeah.
You can't force them to do that.
Yeah. And the substance abuse problem may be linked directly to the post-traumatic stress disorder.
Go ahead, Roger.
But nonetheless, if they don't want help, what do you do with that situation?
Yeah, it's really a heartbreaker for me, you know, to have that situation exist. Another thing I'd like to bring up is a piece of information. I registered with the VA for medical help about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a little known fact to me. Back then, unless you register every year on your anniversary date, they go back, VA, and they charge you more of a copay.
Really?
Yes, Roger. And I was shocked. And I called people at the VA, and they said that's a practice.
Wow.
It's been in existence. Now, I don't know how long that's been in existence, but it was a shock. Because I wasn't, I owed about $300 for doctor visits overall.
Wow.
And so that was kind of a shocker.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to put that out for...
Yeah, that's a good heads up. Appreciate the call, and thank you for your service to the country.
Well, thank you, Roger, for what you do, too.
You have a good
very
one.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye now. Yeah. If you have to register every year or pay a penalty, that was good advice if you're a veteran. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Snow accumulating a coating to an inch or so before it shuts down early this evening. Temperatures falling through the 30s. Mostly cloudy and cold the rest of tonight, a snow shower or two. Watch for slick spots, especially bridges, and a low of 24. Mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow. A couple of snow showers, 35 the high. Wednesday, quite chilly, times of clouds and sun, and a high of 41 degrees. We've got 31 in Kalamazoo, so slippery spots are imminent. When we talked to our friend Bob Larson, he said in just about a week we're going to have another one of these Alberta Clippers come through. And that one, he says, is going to have much more snow associated with it. It may be our first really big lake effect snow event of the year.
Oh, great. But it's that time of year, so you got to expect that, so I'm not going to complain too much.
Yeah. Usually, as we approach Thanksgiving, that's the beginning mm-hmm. of the real snow here. And this is just a hint of what's coming, according to Bob. And we'll be talking to Bob every day the rest of the week as we make sure you're up to speed for next week's storm. Just be careful on the roads tonight.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.